part of me wants to leave that in because you talked about how you went somewhere to not have internet issues, and then you
and then like my phone cuts out, right?
What's up, everybody, and welcome to episode 35 of the One of Us Community Podcast. This is a highly anticipated episode. I don't know if you know this, but I'm here with Keely Jinx. You were very highly recommended and requested by the community.
That's crazy. That is crazy.
Oh my gosh.
Hello, OOU. I love you. Hello, OOU. How's it going, guys? I love
you. So much energy. So how are you doing tonight?
I'm fantastic. I'm doing fantastic. It's funny, we've had internet issues all week. The internet guy is coming again tomorrow morning. Again, second time this week. So right now I'm actually at my best friend's house in her daughter's bedroom.
No way.
I'm using her internet because I couldn't count on my internet to be, you know, I couldn't have it cutting out in the middle of the podcast, right? So here I am. I'm on a Minnie Mouse bed. I'm surrounded by unicorns and fairies and Barbie houses and like fairy wands and stuff. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at right now. So
listen, a couple episodes, Kim was at a Magic the Gathering tournament. And she went out in her car to record the podcast. And like, that was like the greatest story of somebody recording a podcast, but that might've just topped it.
Yeah. So like, I'm looking at a picture of, you know, Daffy Duck right now. So, you know, just to give you an idea,
that'll be your inspiration.
It's very pink in here, guys. There's a lot of Barbie stuff in here.
A lot of Barbie stuff. So yeah. So I have this magic list. Okay. Nobody's ever really seen this list.
Oh,
but it's all the people that need to come on the podcast. And every once in a while, the team has like a Snapchat group that we're talking in like all day long. And I'll put a note in Snapchat, be like, hey, who do you guys want to see? Give me names. This and that. Your name came up several times. Then I had people DM me and saying that your name, you know, was one that they wanted to see on the podcast. So that's why I said it was highly anticipated. And in fact, as I say that, I'm getting a Snapchat image of the podcast recording channel with our names in it and the words excited across it.
Oh my gosh, this is crazy.
Yeah.
Oh my god, this is crazy, you guys.
You've had some sort of an effect on the community. So that's good.
Apparently good or bad, I don't know. This is mind blowing to me. So I'm thrilled and I'm humbled. So thank you for having me.
So it's, for the 2 to 3 people that may not know who you are in the community, why don't you let us know who you are and kind of what you do here on the internet and within the community?
Hi, I'm Keely. I'm a variety streamer. I stream all kinds of different games. I like to mostly first person shooters at this point. My lobbies are always open. So, you know, everybody's allowed to play. We play very casually. And, you know, I mean, that's pretty much how it is. You know, no man left behind. So, you know, everybody gets talked to. Everybody is included. Everybody gets to play. And so right now, you know, we're working with, you know, your basics, your Siege, Overwatch, Paladins. And right now I'm actually working on a new project for this stream.
Uh-oh.
Yes, I am. That's, I'm working with the Sims game. Yes, I am. That I'm calling Jinxville. So what I've done is I've actually put myself and my significant other in the game, along with my mom. My mom is actually like a big part of my chat.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, like my mom is actually... Yeah, my mom shows up in my chat a lot. So I've got this project. So the idea is to sort of bring people in and move people in from the community and from the chat and have them into this big Sims game and kind of see like what hilarity ensues.
That sounds really awesome.
Yeah, so it was kind of something I'm kind of playing with right now. But, you know, that's just me. I don't, you know, I drink a lot of coffee and... I tell bad jokes and, you know, we hang out and we play video games.
Now, what kind of coffee do you like?
I drink 8 o'clock coffee.
8 o'clock. I don't know if I've had that one yet. I've seen it.
It's good.
I know they have it in the grocery store by us, but I don't know if I've ever gotten it.
It's good.
We found this like little like roaster in coffee shop that's like in a little like not like a strip mall, but like a little plaza by our house. And they've actually got like their like half pound bags of coffee are only like I don't know, $5, which for like really good coffee is not terrible.
No, that's actually a really good price.
So I've started stocking up. Like, we'll go each weekend and we'll buy like a bag. And like the one bag of, you know, full octane will be for like work in the morning. And then I keep a bag of decaf for stream so that I can have like a cup of coffee. Because I stream later at night, right? So if I had full octane, you know, at 9 o'clock at night, I'd never go to sleep.
Right.
But yeah, good coffee is it's therapeutic.
It's you know I don't have many vices in life, but coffee is one of them. So
right, yeah.
You know, okay. So you know, some people use G Fuel.
Yeah.
I'm old school. I use C Fuel. I use you know I
I love it. So, I love it.
So I just run on straight up coffee. You know, that's people are like, God, you have so much energy. I'm like, God, do you know how much coffee I drink?
Yeah, right?
Right? You know, you think that might have anything to do with it. I don't know.
My wife always yells at me because like I'm always moving, right? Even if we're sitting still, like my legs are going or something like that. She's like, don't you ever stop moving? I go, no, like I drink 12 cups of coffee a day. Like right. I'm constantly moving. And like, it's funny because at stream, you can only see me from like, I don't know, like the chest up. But usually even when I'm playing.
Right, like, your legs are moving, right?
You'll see like this slow bob in my camera if you look closely because my legs are underneath my desk, like swinging back and forth like crazy.
Right?
That's funny. But yeah.
You got like the rock grooving. You got like the rock groove going.
Exactly. Now. Exactly. So how did you get into gaming? Like, have you always been into video games?
Absolutely.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I had an Atari when I was a kid. So
nice.
You know, we're talking like Pac-Man and Asteroids and Space Invaders and Pitfall Harry. And do you remember that horrific E.T. game with the Reese's Pieces on Atari?
Oh, my God,
and,
yeah.
You know, the Empire Strikes Back scroller with the X-Wings and the, you know, the AT-AT walkers, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so what I would do on Saturday morning is after the cartoons were over, I would literally, I know this used to piss my mom off, but I would take the couch and I would literally move the couch closer to the TV so that I didn't have to sit on the floor so that like my, you know, because they were wired controllers.
Yeah, there was no wireless controllers back then.
Right, yeah. I mean, they were wired and those wires were short, man. So it was like, okay, screw this. I'm not sitting on this wood floor. So I would literally move the couch up and then spend the rest of the afternoon playing, you know, video games on the Atari.
That's incredible. Games were like, it was such a simpler time back then, you know, like. Those games were so simplistic, but we were just happy to have games.
Well, yeah. I mean, at that point, Pac-Man was only something you saw in an arcade.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and you know, the idea that you could have Pac-Man at home was like mind-blowing, you know.
Without having to pay a quarter for each game.
Right. I mean, it was just, it was mind-blowing. And of course, like my cousin had gotten his Atari and it came with Asteroids, but I got mine later, so it came with a Pac-Man, so, like, I was a shit, right? So, you know, of course, that was an endless point of contention of whether or not he was cool enough to, you know, me allow him to come over and actually play my Pac-Man, but, yeah, so, yeah, I've been gaming for a long time.
That's awesome. So what would you remember as, like, the first game that really pulled you in, where you sunk a lot of hours into?
I can remember playing Zork 3.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
On the Commodore 64.
Yeah.
And it was like this massive, like adventure type game. And I can remember it just being really, and I was like a kid. I mean, I was just a little kid and I was just like really into this. So, you know, I had this Commodore 64 and I was into a lot of different games. Like I had Donkey Kong, I had the original Mario Brothers, and this Zork game was just like all absorbing. You know, I mean, I had the maps, I had, you know, back then we didn't have the internet. You couldn't just go on the internet and look up the cheats, man. You had to figure that stuff out for yourself, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, I had the maps and all that stuff. So, you know, I think that was really, you know, at a young age, the first one that really drew me into, you know, like say another world, so to speak, as a video game.
That was like, and that was like one of the first kind of like, not really like Dungeons and Dragons esque game, but like the first almost like dungeon crawler type of game, wasn't it?
Well, it wasn't really a dungeon crawler. It was more like a role play. Well, not necessarily a role play, but I mean, you had to kind of like, yeah, I guess in a way it was a dungeon crawler because you had to kind of, you know, move your character around and solve the puzzles and do it all in a certain order or else this wouldn't unlock and that wouldn't unlock. And it was just a real pain in the butt, you know?
Yeah.
Because if you did it out of order, you screwed the whole game. You had to start off from the beginning again.
Yeah.
You know, games weren't that sophisticated at that time. So,
yeah.
But thank goodness we've moved on.
Yeah. Well, because I've said that with like in past episodes, I think when we were talking to Moody, it was like, you know, you can only fit so much on, you know, a cartridge or, you know,
a floppy disk.
Oh my God. Yeah. You can only fit so much data on there. So like games didn't get their replayability by having this like myriad of content. It was by being difficult. You know what I mean? And that exactly. Exact situation where like you screwed one thing up and it caused you to have to start up over the whole game. And like, that's what kept you interested. Cause you're like, all right, this time I learned something.
Uh-huh.
I got better and I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it the next time.
Exactly. So yeah, I think that was probably I was a kid, but I think that was the first game that really kind of sucked me in.
Yeah. So did you stay into games like all, you know, as you were growing up the whole time, or did you step away for a bit?
You know, I think gaming for me is a hobby, like a lot of hobbies that I have that, you know, in some periods of my life, I've been very into it. And then some period of life, you know, it's been sort of dormant. And so that's sort of how gaming has been for me throughout my life. You know, I gamed a lot in college. I can remember Mortal Kombat, you know, the original Mortal Kombat on the Sega Genesis was amazing. And I loved that game. And Sonya was my girl. And I don't care what anybody said, I would kick your ass. But anyway, you know, I can remember playing the original SimCity, which I absolutely adored, on my Mac at that time. So,
you know,
games like that. So, you know, but there was a long period of my life where I wasn't into gaming at all. And it wasn't until the release of Halo 3 and that sort of brought me back into gaming. And it was because my significant other was a big fan of the Halo series. He had the Xbox. He had played all the Halos. So when Halo 3, the anticipation, and it was coming out, he was like, look, I'm getting this Xbox thing, and we're going to play this Halo game. And I'm like, what the hell is a Halo game? Is this like about angels or what? You know, what is this? You know, I have
no idea. Let's be serious. He told you that he was about to no-life Halo 3, and then if you ever wanted to hear from him again, you should probably play it with him.
He was just like, you know, this Halo thing. And I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. So he literally went and dug up a disc and of the original Halo that he had. And I played the original Halo for the first time on a Macintosh laptop with a mouse and keyboard. And I do not recommend anyone do this ever. Don't ever
That's
do this.
That's right, because this Combat Evolved was on the computers.
Yes, it is a bad idea. Don't do it. Okay, it really sucks. But that was my first Halo experience, but it really got me hooked. And
yeah.
So when we did get the 360, you know, a week later, you know, Halo 3 just opened up a whole new world for me. So, you know, the 360 was really the console that kind of drew me back into gaming.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the wonderful games that were there, some of my favorite games that I played on there, because it brought me back to gaming and because I made a lot of amazing friends. You know, I mean, I ran a Halo clan at one point.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So, I mean, I made a lot of amazing friends, a lot of whom I'm still in touch with today. So, it was just a really great thing. But then, you know, then I made the mistake of starting playing MMOs. And you know what happens when we start to play MMOs, you know,
then they're done that.
Yeah. Which, you know, there goes your life.
Which MMOs?
Oh, there were several, but you know, the big one, you know, the big daddy, we always go back to WoW. We always go back to World of Warcraft. You know, and you never quit World of Warcraft, do you?
No.
You never ever really quit. You just retire for a while.
It's funny you say that because I played in college and this was probably the last time I had an active subscription was probably close to 10, 11 years ago. Okay. And I was clean. You know, I'd put it aside. I'd gotten into Destiny, right? And that was my new crack.
Right.
Gotcha, and then, gotcha. You know, there was a little bit of slow point in Destiny probably about 3 to 6 months ago. I was like, you know,
I should go.
I had a good buddy like from real life that started streaming on Twitch, and he was playing WoW and I was watching him play, and I'm like, you know, maybe I should check it out a little bit. And
you fell for it.
I did.
You got sucked back in. You got sucked right back in, didn't you? Admit it right now. Right now. Are you playing actively right now? Admit it right now.
No, I'm not.
I am calling you out.
luckily, the next season of Destiny was really good.
okay, good.
It pulled me back in. But yeah, no, I hopped in for a while and I started playing a bunch of WoW, and it had been so long. I think like my account, like luckily I didn't have any payment like information on there, but my account had gotten hacked and banned or something like that.
God.
So basically I had, you know, I put a new account on and started from scratch and started leveling again from scratch. But like the itch was still there. Like the idea of leveling a character and getting into that MMO world is cool. But I'm one of the few people that wasn't excited when they were like, hey, we're going to bring back WoW Classic.
Oh, I'm not excited about WoW Classic at all. And I'll tell you why. 40 man raids do not sound like a good idea to me.
No, not anymore.
Okay. Especially, and like, what were they thinking? Because that was like back in the days of like dial up and DSL. Like, who the hell thought that 40 man raids was a good idea when everybody's on dial up? Mm-hmm. I don't even know how you would even begin to organize something like that. But
yeah.
Like for me, when it comes to the MMOs, that's where I get sweaty. Like I'm a raider. Yeah. Like I've got a raid. Oh yeah. I got a raid and I got a raid hardcore and I get into it and it's bad. It's bad. I'm bad. I'm terrible.
Have you ever played Destiny?
I played a little bit of Destiny 1. I have not played Destiny 2, but I am happy to report that I did recently install it.
Oh, all right.
And with thoughts of perhaps checking it out. But the thing that disturbs me so highly about Destiny is I've watched Pelt play it several times, and there's so much platforming involved in this game. And, like, I literally hate platformer games. Like, they make me rage and want to break things. Like, that's why I've never completed a Tomb Raider game, which also makes me very sad because I love Lara Croft. So the whole there's so much platforming in Destiny 2 that it literally kind of gives me anxiety to even try to play that game. But we'll see.
So most of the raids in Destiny historically have included some sort of a jumping puzzle or a jumping encounter. And they're probably like the most polarizing portions of the raids as far as like the community is concerned. Because some people love the challenge of a jumping puzzle and like they love to have this puzzle that doesn't require them to try to shoot like these big enemies, but just use their movement to get through. And other people can't stand them. Like I've seen some of the biggest like rages and rage quits come at the jumping puzzles.
That would be me. Yeah. That would be me. I like to heal. That's all I like to do in MMOs. I'm a healer. That's what I like to do. You know, and that to me, that's sweaty. Like healing a 25 man World of Warcraft raid, like that's where I start sweating. So I think that's why these first person shooter games like Overwatch and Siege and like, I feel very casually about them. You know, to me, it's like no sweat. There's no grind here. There's no mechanics here. There's just, hey, let's go shoot stuff. You know, yay. I don't have to farm for mats. I don't have to worry about potions. I don't have to research fights. Yep. All I got to do is just spawn and shoot stuff. And spray and pay, baby. So yeah, it's like I'm like so over that grind, and that's why I in January I just quit the World of Warcraft thing. So I'm back to console.
You're clean
now. Yeah, clean, I'm clean. I'm absolutely clean. I've been clean since January. I'm good.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I've hung up my totems. My shaman is in retirement, so I'm good.
So then, who's your favorite Overwatch character, and why is it Mercy?
Oh, so you've heard.
No, I was just guessing because I like to heal too, and that's who I play.
That's exactly who my main is. In fact, the people that you know are in my stream, they make fun of me because of the amount of hours that I have on Mercy. I think it's like 280 some hours or something on Mercy.
Nice.
That I have. which I don't, I don't even know if that's a lot of hours because I have no basis of comparison. But but yeah, absolutely. Mercy is absolutely my main in Overwatch.
I started as a Zenny main when I first played on console, and then I could never get a hang of Mercy because I could never find like a button layout on controller that felt comfortable to me.
Oh, okay. But
when I switched to playing on PC, I was able to get a comfortable, like a very comfortable layout on Mercy on mouse and keyboard, because essentially like her two different, you know, beams, the buff beam and the healing beam are just right click and left click.
Right.
So it's really easy to like swap between those back and forth. And it's since I've moved to PC, I think that's probably one of the, she's probably the only character that I've actually played.
Well, I like her the most because I feel out of all of the healing character heroes that are available in Overwatch in that game, I feel like she is the the most pure healer in terms of hybrid. You know, she does have like basically a useless weapon. I mean, like every time I bring out her weapon, I'm like, somebody please call Bungie and get me a plasma pistol. Please, I'm dying here. Okay, I have this crap pistol that does absolutely nothing, but you know, she probably, in terms of DPS, is the weakest healer, but she's, or excuse me, you know, damage healer, but she is the strongest healer.
Yep.
So, you know, I think that's why I play her the most, because again, I'm a healer. That's just my natural inclination. So I naturally gravitate towards her.
I think that's part of why I like her, because it's like, yeah, you can play pure healer, but then when you get a kill as combat Mercy.
Oh, as battle like, Mercy? You're like, yes, you're bitches! Like,
oh. That motherfucker's pissed.
Yep, you're right. You're right. It's like, yep, that guy's mad because you know that guy's gonna. You're that guy is so
furious.
Mad. Yeah, he's gonna come after you for the rest of the game. So the rest of the game, you're screwed because that guy's gonna come after you and waste you the rest. Especially if it's a Genji, you're done.
It's like forget it.
Yeah, it's like or a Reaper. It's like I just forget it. Just put the controller down. I'm done.
Oh my god. Yeah, that's wonderful. So you've been gaming all your life, obviously. I'm assuming Halo is when you kind of started getting into shooters. What made you decide to get into like content creation, like start streaming and all that?
That is an excellent question. And I have thought back to the moment that I first turned on my broadcast button. And I really cannot give you any clear reason or motivation for me doing so. I really can't remember why I did that. Maybe I was curious or, you know, maybe I was looking for people to play with. I have no idea. I just turned on the broadcast. I didn't even have a camera. I just turned on the broadcast button.
Just started playing.
Yeah, and just started playing. And so I did this for like, I don't know, 3 days. And my significant other at the end of the third day said, you know, I'm going to get you a camera. So then I really kind of freaked out. So I'm like, wait a minute. Whoa, what are we doing?
It's getting real now.
Wait a minute. What are you doing here? You know? And so then, you know, he kind of put the camera up and I said, well, you know, what the heck? I'll just, you know, let's make this a thing.
Yeah.
You know, streaming for me, it has helped me cope with my mental health issues in a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
And you know, and I have no problem in coming out and saying that. So for me, this has been a very, very positive journey in helping me to cope with a lot of different things. And so that's just one benefit that I get out of streaming. Out of, you know, aside from, you know, having wonderful funnies and meeting wonderful people and meeting like all of you guys and the one of us and the amazing the love and support and the friendships that I've made. You know, aside from all that stuff, there's a very huge personal benefit to getting into streaming for me, and that is that it's proven to be very beneficial for my mental health.
Why do you think that is?
Well, it forces me to have a purpose. Mm-hmm. It forces me to be a positive person. You know, it because who's going to want to watch the depressed streamer? Nobody's going to want to watch. You know, so. I literally pump myself up every day. I have a little ritual before I stream and I listen to a few songs and I pump myself up and I think really positive things because if I'm going to have this platform and I'm going to do something on this platform, I'm going to do the most positive thing I can possibly do. So I want to put out as much positive energy as I possibly can. So, you know, to do that, you can't really be in a depressed state of mind. So, you know, by turning your mind, and making yourself think positive things, you feel more positive.
That's such a fascinating take on it. Honestly, because like I think like a lot of times, you know, you read up on whether it's Twitter or some article or things like that about the negative effect that streaming has on people's psyche and their mental health, either from, you know, taking abuse from trolls or just the idea of burnout and grinding, you know, ourselves until we're crazy. But you never hear too much about the positive effects that it has, you know, from that, like being, you know, using it as a means to almost force yourself into a positive mindset or find ways to make
absolutely
like build up your positivity to, you know, I think there's a lot of us that stream that might not be the most socially active people normally, and may have some social anxieties, and those seem to go away when we're in our own space. And we can still have these social interactions with people. And I don't think there's enough, you know, we don't talk enough about the positive effects of streaming as we do. We look at the negative effects of people getting burned out or, you know, over streaming or things like that.
Well, I think that those are things that just sort of come with the ropes. You know, I mean, if you take a realistic look at streaming, I mean, those are just issues you're just going to have to deal with. And frankly, those are good problems to have.
Yeah.
Let's think about this for a second. If you have been working your butt off for so many months and you have smashed so many goals and done so many things, you know, and you might be feeling a little bit of burnout, hey, you know, that might be a good problem to have.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean? I mean, I'm always trying it, you know, so when I look at things like trolls, you know, I always look at problems as learning experiences. So if 100%. I have trolls, I have problems, you know, I look at that and I say, okay, this is how I handle it. You know, next time, how am I going to handle it better?
Yeah.
You know, somebody comes into my stream, they're bummed out. You know, this is what I did this time. How can I handle this better? Yeah. How can I make this day, person's day better? You know, because, you know, what else could I possibly do? You know, let's make the world a better place here. So
and I think that's the difference between people that stream and then people that take streaming seriously, right? Is that you're looking at growth outside of the numbers, outside of, you know, your follower count, your viewer count, and you're finding growth within yourself and within your abilities. And you know, I every once in a while I do this, and I find it fascinating is to go back and find like the oldest VOD I can, whether it's on Twitch or on Mixer, and taking a look at what I did then versus what I'm doing now. Mm-hmm. And if you should be able to see that improvement, you know, even if it's like the quality of your stream or like the quality of your interaction, but like see some sort of growth that you can, you know, identify outside of numbers and then, you know, use that to build, you know, your mindset as opposed to just going, well, I only gained, you know, 20 followers.
I never really pay attention to numbers. I honestly, people remind me. Other people pay more attention to those numbers than I do. And, you know, to me, meeting people and hanging out with people and gaming to me, is it hard sometimes? Yeah, of course it's hard. You know, sometimes you're sitting there and you haven't gone to the bathroom in 2 hours and you're starving and this, you know, and this, you know, this person shows up and they're like, hi, can I play? Invite. And you're just like, oh my God, you know, you want to do the right thing. You want to be a good person and, you know, make that person included. So you're like, all right, fine. You know, so sometimes it sucks, but you know, the good outweighs the bad, you know, meeting all of the wonderful people and interacting with the wonderful people and trying to be positive and trying to make their day better and trying to make people feel included.
Yeah.
I think those are positive goals to work with.
So speaking of interacting with the community, how did you end up stumbling across the One of Us community?
Oh, that was a Rob Overwatch Wednesday
stream. Oh.
I was very new to Mixer. My significant other had been watching Mixer for a couple of months. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't really paid much. He had it on the big screen all the time. I hadn't really paid much attention to what he was doing. But I started watching somewhere along the way. And one morning, drinking my coffee, there I was. because I was into playing Overwatch. Well, you know, let's look for some Overwatch streamers. And there he was. Fun little guy, red hat. There he is. Doing his thing, you know, doing the Rob thing. And then everybody in chat's doing the Rob chat thing, you know. And then it was like, oh, wow, what in the hell have I just walked into here?
What kind of shit show is this?
Where are these people getting these gifts? And
oh yeah,
what
God.
Is happening in this place? I don't know why there's underwear hanging from the ceiling, but I really like it.
Yeah,
like,
this place I'm a is fan. Cool.
You know, I'm already a fan, man. Like, people are running around naked. People are taking craps on their phone in the stream. Yeah. I'm like, this place is great, man.
It's like so, when you know, you walk into, like, a party at, like, 1 o'clock, and everybody's already been there for a couple of hours.
Right, and everybody's already trashed, and you're like, wow, okay, cool.
You're like, I don't know what's going on here, but I dig
it. I want in, right? It's like, I want in. I don't know why that goat, those Twizzlers, and that Cheese Whiz is sitting there, but whatever you all are doing, I so want in on this right now.
How did you guys get that Buick in here?
Yeah, right! Right! How did you get that? What's this going on in here? So, yeah, that's how I found one of them.
Oh, my God.
And I guess it just kind of spiraled from there. So,
well, and somehow you've made a pretty significant impact because, like I said, you were highly requested.
Yeah. Well, that just blows my mind. But okay.
The podcast questions channel blew up after I announced that you were going to be on the show.
Oh,
So I assume that you've found a lot of friends here.
I have, and I really gotta take a minute to thank you, the team, and the community, because you all have supported me and lifted me up and believed in me almost from day one. And that comes from all corners of this community. And it has been in huge ways and it has been in small ways. And it's just been enormous, whelming, and I am humbled and I am so grateful of you that I have met and made friends with, and it's been an amazing, it's been one hell of a like that.
It's been great. This community has turned into some sort of like phenom. Like from where we started, you know, about a year and a half ago now, to where it's come now, and like the people that have come together in here and the things that this community has done. I mean, if you told me a year and a half ago that I was going to be doing a podcast, you know, with people in a community this big, I would have told you you're freaking crazy.
Right, right.
But I feel that. Like, I think I've mentioned this before, but, you know, obviously I moved to Twitch recently, and that was a personal decision based on some things going on with my content and where I wanted it to be. And I had no expectations. You know, I had a small community over on Twitch as it was, like in the Destiny PC community. But the number of people from one of us that have come over to Twitch, made their first accounts to come over and say hi in my chat is just astonishing. And it's incredibly humbling because
wonderful.
I mean, we joke that nobody's going to go over to that other site, but like so many people did and came over and said hi and chatted and showed the love. And it is crazy how supportive everybody in this community is of everybody. Yes. Of everybody, you know? Because like even like the channel, one of us, you know, the auto hoster runs off my bot. We had, a car accident in front of our house, I don't know, a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And people were messaging me like, hey, just so you know, channel one of us is down.
I'm like, oh, my God. Wow.
I'm like, I know. Like, there's a telephone pole across the road in front of my house. Right. There's not much I can do right now.
Right. I am kind of screwed right now, guys. Sorry.
Yeah, but like they want that there, like to support, you know, each other and show each other, you know, the love and help lift, like, I always say it's, we help lift each other up, and like it's so true. Like it's so true.
The Achievements channel in the Discord is absolutely my favorite channel.
Whiskey and I were saying the same thing on the episode last week.
Oh, yeah. That's the first place I go.
Yeah.
Because like I want to see what's going on. Who did what? Who did what? Who can I congratulate? Who could, you know, what's going on? Who did what? Yay! You know, I mean, it's like every day somebody is doing something. It's amazing to see. You know, it's amazing to see everybody grow together. You know,
it's so cool to see like what people are excited about. Like there's people posting achievements of like getting hosted by Hype Zone or, you know, anywhere from hitting like 2,000 followers to hitting like 20 followers. And it doesn't matter what achievement people are posting. Everybody's like, heck yeah, way to go. Keep it up. You know, it's amazing. Good job. And it's like, it's so positive and so like supportive. It's incredible.
It is, and I do think it's something that's rather unique.
You know, I don't see that many places.
And I'm not like a person that has like a million Discords that I hang out in. I really don't. So I really wouldn't know by comparison. But I really think that that is a very, very unique thing about this community, and maybe one of the reasons why the support it is so strong.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, I have a million Discords. I don't necessarily hang out in them all, but I do have a very long list of Discords that I'm a part of. And I haven't seen anything like this anywhere. So it is cool.
It's very cool. I love it.
Whiskey and I talked after the last episode of our Whiskey on the Rocks, which we've kind of made like a monthly thing on the podcast.
Yeah.
But I think we're going to use that as like a platform to kind of highlight some of these, like, so pick a few of these achievements that people have announced and talk about them on the podcast, because I mean there's a lot of good stuff in here.
That's fantastic.
So yeah, it's good stuff.
That's good.
Should we get into Discord questions, because we've got a lot of Discord questions.
Oh Lord. Okay, all right. I know you people I know what you're gonna do to me here.
I know you people.
I know what you people are gonna do to me.
She's on to you.
Oh God. Okay. All right. Hit me. Let's go. Let's do it.
She's got y'all's number.
Like, all right. Let's do it. I got my armor on. I'm ready. Right. Hit me.
So we'll start out easy. We got the standard questions. These are the ones that I ask everybody.
Okay.
So what's the origin story of the name Keely Jinx? Where does that come from?
Keely was the my shaman healer's name. And Jinx was actually the name of one of my pets in the game of World of Warcraft. So when I came back to console gaming, after I'd been playing World of Warcraft for a while, I'd been called Keely for so long, I was used to it. So I changed my username and I wanted to be Keely and I needed something to stick on the end. So I stuck on Jinx. And the unfortunate thing was I didn't stop and think it through and realize that Jinx is actually a curse. And maybe this wasn't really a good idea to name myself a curse, but, you know, I went with it, and now I'm stuck with it. So there we are.
So you're out of World of Warcraft, but you're not quite clean.
No, I'm stuck being Keely, I guess. I'm just stuck. It's been like that for a long time. So
it's the gateway back in. You'll be back.
They always come back. No, don't say it. No, I don't want to go back.
What would the adult version of an ice cream truck sell, and what song would it play?
What would it sell? It would probably sell something phallic looking, and would play the music from the Gandalf channel.
Why not?
Because, you know, think about it. We all be bobbing on these, like, you know, phallic shaped.
Your head would be going back and forth.
Heads would be going back and forth, licking on the lollipops. You know,
That was the dirtiest politically correct answer to that question I've ever heard in my life. That was amazing.
Thank you.
An epic feast is being held in your honor. What's on the table?
Mexican food, steak, or anything that my mom cooks.
Yeah, steak sounds good.
Steak. Oh, you cannot beat a good piece of dead cow.
No. What's your favorite thing that your mom cooks?
Oh my God, my mom is like an amazing chef.
Really?
So yeah. The woman's literally read about 1,000 books.
This is above and beyond just like normal mom.
Yeah. Cooking. This is like gourmet chef kind of cooking.
Oh, you know, snap.
So going to her house for dinner is quite the event. So. I'm a simple person, you know, hey, make me some chicken and dumplings. You know, cook me a steak. You know, yeah. I mean, cook me some hillbilly food. Mom, if you're listening, cook me some good chicken and dumplings.
Just food for the soul.
Yeah. You know, she makes awesome meatloaf.
Oh, God. Everybody, you know, everybody dogs on meatloaf, but I'm telling you, man, a good meatloaf with some good gravy.
I'm telling you.
It's hard to top that, you know?
Yeah, she taught me the secret. I make a meatloaf. I will admit, I make a meatloaf.
I have a feeling I know the answer to this question, but who was your role model growing up?
My grandmother.
Your grandmother?
Yes.
So that's kind of like your mother, but the next level up, right?
Well, you know, my mom was working a lot when I was younger. Yeah. So I ended up spending a lot of time with my grandmother.
Yeah.
And so, you know, she is absolutely my favorite person in the entire world. And fun fact about my grandma, in about 6 weeks, we will be celebrating her 100th birthday.
Wow.
Yes.
That is so cool.
Isn't that cool? It's going to be one hell of a birthday. Let's just say that. So,
oh my God. Tell her, make sure she posts it in the Achievements channel.
I will. I'll take a picture. I will. And be like, you know, but, you know, so we've got all kinds of crazy stuff going on, but it's going to be a great party. So, I mean, hey.
That's cool.
You know, when are you ever going to go to a 100-year-old birthday, you know, birthday party?
That's what I'm saying.
That, you know, this is a once in a lifetime opportunity. So let's
do it. You got to turn up for that one.
Yeah, you got to turn out for that one. So it'll be good. It'll be good.
Favorite flavor of Pop-Tart?
Probably strawberry with sprinkles.
Okay. So it's frosted though, right? It's not you're not one of those weird people that likes unfrosted strawberry.
No, I'm cool with frosting.
Yeah, I won't name names, but there were people that answered that question as unfrosted strawberry, and can't trust those people.
Yeah, I would be suspicious of unfrosting. Yeah. Any, frankly, I would almost be suspicious of any Pop-Tart without frosting. Just saying,
right?
I might just put that out there. Go ahead, come at me. You don't like it, come at me.
All right, you survived the easy ones. Now we're getting into the community questions.
Okay.
Frozen Kibbles asks, least favorite Overwatch character?
Reaper.
Really?
Yes.
How come?
Because he kills me all the time.
So is that because you don't like playing him? You just don't like him?
I can't stand him. And as Mercy, I am literally defenseless against this guy.
Yeah.
Unless I can fly out of his range. And his range is huge. And it's just, I mean, I don't rage on screen, but Reaper makes me want to rage.
Chaotic asks, do you plan on meeting up with her someday since you guys apparently live so close?
Absolutely. And that is not like a, oh, hey, yeah, girl, we're going to do that one day. Okay. Listen, yeah. Chaotic and I basically live in the same cities. So,
really?
Separated by a river. Okay.
Oh, so okay.
It would literally be ridiculous if her and I didn't meet up. We literally live a half hour with each other.
So I assume you're in Detroit?
Yes. I'm in the Metro Detroit area. Yeah.
Nice.
So you know, at first we were like, oh my God, in real life stream.
But yeah.
Then it was like, wait a minute. What happens between Keely and Chaotic might need to stay.
But, yeah.
Like, you know, it's like Vegas, you know, like maybe we don't want to tell what happened, you know, maybe like a quick selfie or something while we still have our clothes on. But after that, all bets are off. So,
after that, you never know.
You know, yeah, you don't know what's going to happen. So, but absolutely, that's definitely going to happen because it would be stupid not to.
Well, if we wait a year, I'm typically this is the weekend that I am in that area.
Really?
Yeah. So I went to school about an hour north of you. I went to school up in Flint, Michigan.
Okay.
And,
all right.
I still have a lot of friends there, and they all live in kind of like the Royal Oak, Berkeley area.
Yep.
And so we go up, my wife, now my son also, and I, we go out every year at this time for the Woodward Dream Cruise.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Of course. And so we make a weekend out of it, and it's time for us to catch up with friends and things like that. Because of renovating the basement this year, just financially, it wasn't responsible to make the trip this year.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, I'm out in that area at least once or twice a year.
Meet up.
Yeah, let's do it. I'm in.
Okay.
But yeah, cool. Purple Pixie asks, do you think you could ever give up coffee?
No.
You don't think so?
I really, really highly doubt it. You know, like I said, I don't have many vices in life, but good coffee.
Who else? There's so many questions.
Oh my God, it's crazy. You guys are all crazy. I love you guys so much. You're so crazy.
Deathlord 007 says, why are you such a worry nut?
Because I just worry. I worry about everything. I worry if I was nice to somebody that day in a stream. I worry if somebody's feeling bad that day in a stream. You know, I worry about everything. I don't know. I just worry. Leave me alone, okay? Don't touch me.
R2D's Nuts asks, what is something you're proud of but never have an excuse to talk about?
Oh, God.
That's a pretty tough question.
That is a tough question.
I asked that so that I could use the time that it's going to take you to think about it to find the next question.
Okay. Well, you know, something I never really talk about that I've done a lot of in my past is I've been a community builder and mm-hmm. I've been a moderator in a lot of senses. And I got, like, I used to be a moderator at theforce.net. I moderated there for a while. That's like the biggest Star Wars site, you know, on the internet.
Yeah.
I was actually a moderator for a while. I actually ran my own message board and, you know, for a while. I did that for a long time. We actually did that for 9 years. We kept that thing going.
Very cool.
You know, and then, you know, there was, you know, the community building that was with the clan and, you know, starting to build the clan and things like that. So I don't know. It seems like all the, you know, I mean, I started building communities and like building networks and groups of people way back when there was like one, you know, when I was doing like Titanic themed one list, because, you know, I was really, really interested in naval history, particularly the Titanic.
Yeah.
You know, I was running like a Titanic mailing at that time, you know, because that's the technology of the day. So I don't know if that's really an achievement, but it's just something I never really, really ever talk about, I guess.
Well, going along with that, Frozen Kibbles asked, he goes, what was your favorite part of working at the Titanic Museum? Worked at the Titanic Museum?
I worked at a Titanic Museum for 7 months. What happened was the Titanic artifact exhibit, which is a traveling exhibit, it came to Detroit for 7 months. So I basically quit my job at a law firm, and I called the museum, and I said, you need to hire me. And so what my job was, as I was actually a character. I chose a character on the ship, and I got dressed up in the full first-class regalia with the gloves and the corset and the feathers and the jewels and, you know, all the shit. And I went into work, and I talked in character, talked to people about the Titanic. And I did this for 7 months.
Oh my God.
So, and I did it in a British accent because I was doing it in character. So there was a really fine line there between education and entertainment.
Yeah.
So finding that fine line, because, you know, I had lectures, I had props, I had, you know, shticks, I had spiels, you know, I had all kinds of, you know, of things to interact the crowd with. Because I was there, you know, to teach something I was passionate about. And, you know, to help them get a better understanding of that event and look at it in that context and to try to be entertaining while I was doing that and to make people laugh and to engage them into that process. So that was probably my favorite part of it. You know, that fine line between entertainment and, you know, education.
So has that character made it to any of the live streams yet?
No, I retired the Countess after I was the Countess of Roth. I was the Countess of Roth. If you check my Twitter right now and scroll back, there are actually pictures of me.
Oh my gosh!
In full costume, you can see me in full costume because it came up in stream one day, and I don't know. I started talking about it.
If you're listening to this, I'm gonna find this. I'm gonna put a link to that picture in the show notes.
Okay, all right. Okay, all right. You can show me. So that's me dressed up as. So I went to work looking like that, and it was really a cool experience because I got to do all the press releases. I was in all the newspapers. I got to do the commercials. I got to go do the outreach program. So I was able to go to like libraries and community centers and give lectures, presentations, and, you know, to draw interest for the exhibit. You know, they used me to do this. So, you know, it was a really, it was a crazy experience. I mean, it was a really, it was just a really, I've always said it was one of the best and worst things ever. But but looking back, I am glad that I did.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely like it's an experience that you, a lot of people will never have.
No, it was definitely an experience. And you know, the accent thing was really funny because I stayed in character 8 hours a day with this accent, the museum hired me on after the exhibit left. So I showed up, you know, my first day of work after the exhibit was gone, and I spoke in my normal voice, and nobody could believe that I was American. Because I had stayed in character for 7 months, and they were all like, wait a minute, who are you?
That's incredible. Yeah.
Who are you? And plus I wasn't wearing, you know, the dress or anything. So they were just like, who the hell are you? You know? It was pretty interesting. But I'm glad I did the experience. It was a great experience.
R2 asks, would you rather have bionic arms or bionic legs?
I would rather have bionic arms because then I would be able to be the most amazing musician.
Oh, that's very cool. Yeah. Are you into music as it is?
I am a musician. I am a singer and a songwriter, and I play multiple instruments.
What instruments do you play?
I play a lot, but I would say the two main instruments that I play are the violin and the ukulele.
Oh my God. Do you stream this ever?
I have never streamed any music yet.
Oh my gosh.
I have yet to I take that back. I did actually sing a song once as a joke.
as a joke?
It was a joke song. It's a comedy song. So but I've never really actually been like, okay, guys, I'm going to like bust some shit for you. You know,
I used to have a job probably last year. I switched in like September. But before that, I had a job where I could have mixer like up on a second monitor while I was working and stuff.
Yeah.
And I used to love watching music streams because it was something that I could work and still enjoy the content.
Right.
Because they would be sitting there playing music and it would just be like me having Spotify up or something like that.
Right.
Except I could chat with the artists, I could chat with their community and things like that. I got into a lot, like I got pretty deep into the music directory on Mixer. And I don't have a musical bone in my body. My sister got all the artsy fartsy stuff and I got all of the logic and math and science and that type of stuff.
Gotcha.
But I love watching people perform music.
Awesome.
That was why I asked if you had ever done that, because it's a really cool directory, and Mixer has a very strong music directory. But it's such a cool type of content to consume.
You know, I probably would never do just a show of me play music. It would probably be more something like, hey guys, push your controllers down for 15 minutes because I'm gonna bust some stuff out here.
Yeah.
You know,
I always find it fascinating when creators step out of like the video game like world and show people like the other things that they're passionate about. That's cool. I dig that.
I am very passionate about music. Music is you know, my therapy. Music has been my constant friend and companion, and I think music is a wonderful thing because I think it unites.
So Purple Pixie asks, what kind of music do you like?
The better question would be, what kind of music don't I like? Because I've been a musician and been exposed to so many different types of music. From such a young age. So, you know, like from Metallica, from Mozart to Metallica, you know, and everything in between, you know, you kind of name it. So there's very little, there's very few things that I really don't like to listen to. I will say that my favorite band is called The Queen. It's an Irish band and I absolutely love them. And
very cool.
That's it.
Yeah. We had a very, very similar conversation with Jay on her episode. Of her being exposed to growing up in a small town and obviously being exposed to that kind of middle America country, you know, type of stuff. And then going to college in the city and getting exposed to, you know, EDM and rock music and things like that. And that fueling her passion in music too. Like very similar conversations. Like it's I'm having a flashback right now.
Right. like my iTunes library is like it ranges between like, oh my God, you so gotta hear this to like please don't judge me.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, okay, don't judge me. I might have some Spice Girls. Okay, so don't judge me. All right. Okay, it happened.
I'm 100% the same way. Like as long as a song can either like speak to me or like it can get like my feet moving or something like that, like I'll listen to it. I don't really care.
Right.
I've been known to bump some Ariana Grande in my truck. It's fine.
Hey, you know what? Rock it. Have no shame.
Yeah.
There's no shame. Haters gonna hate, baby. No shame.
That's right. Faded Angel asks, what's a long-term goal for your channel?
Oh, goodness. I have so goals for my channel. I think the most important thing is to just keep going. Hopefully keep my channel running. Hopefully have an audience and a channel to stream to and still have that going. I would love to get the hardware that I need to be able to, up the production value of my stream and also start adding, start actually creating, more visual content, more interesting content, as well as adding some gamification to my chat. So, I would really like to sort of polish out, the stream. And sort of take it to that level. I've got, some ideas I want there. But
we didn't talk about that. Like what is your setup currently?
Oh, I am literally streaming right off my Xbox right now.
Oh, okay.
So everyone says, like, God, don't you have a PC in the house? It's like, no, we have Mac laptops. We're designers, we're developers.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We're working on the equipment issues. So obviously I'd like to be able to provide better content. Yep. I want to strive to do all of these fun things and it's, I'm itching to, I'm dying to, I would love to do and incorporate more things. I would also like to incorporate different types of programming. Like I was mentioning earlier about the Sims game. I, when I first started streaming, I did something I called Throwback Thursday where, I would play an older game, and it luckily, right about the time I decided I wanted to do this, they released the original Borderlands that was remastered. So I got a hold of that. I did that. Then I did the Halo CE.
Yeah.
Then I kind of ran out of games that would actually stream. The older games won't stream, so I have to put Throwback Thursday back on the shelf. So I would, I would love to bring that back.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of games like. I would love to stream BioShock. I love the original BioShock, and I would really love to stream. I would love to stream that game. There's a lot of games I would love to stream.
Oh yeah, that'd be cool then. Well, if you ever, whenever you get to that point, feel free to reach out. I mean, I've built my fair share and spec'd out my fair share of streaming PCs.
Thank you.
But we're always or hop into streaming help.
I'm always willing
to help because like one of my things is like I stay pretty well up on like current tech as far as PCs are concerned because that's my hobby. And I know like there's a lot of misconceptions out there about building PCs and like what people need and what they don't need for streaming. And I like to help people work through those so that they don't spend more money than they need to, but then at the same time they also don't pick the wrong things and end up with a subpar experience.
Exactly.
I love helping people spec out PCs.
That's amazing.
I'm specing out a spicy upgrade for myself right now. So
everybody else gotta wait.
Yeah, it's always a lot easier when you're spending somebody else's money, though.
right. Exactly. Oh yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Epic Jag asks: is a hot dog a sandwich?
Absolutely not.
No, is it a taco?
I think this whole like taco hot dog crossover thing. I think this is a political hotbed issue. Yeah. I don't think you can compare one of the two. I mean, one is soft and squishy, one is crunchy. I just I think it's apples.
Now, I eat soft tacos, though.
You eat soft tacos. So, see, now that even complicates the issue further.
Yeah.
But see, you know, tacos aren't a sandwich.
No, tacos are not a sandwich.
Tacos are not a sandwich. So I don't
know. Hot dog isn't a sandwich unless you rip the bun in half. Then it's a sandwich.
Okay. All right. You know what? I can compromise. I can meet you there.
Yeah. All right. That sounds good. Okay.
Fist bump. I'm good.
Fist bump. Internet fist bump.
Yep.
Fuse Shield OP says, would you rather find the cure to cancer or have world peace forever?
I would rather have world peace forever. Yeah. And I will tell you why. If we would stop like hating on each other and stop killing each other, we could use all that brain power to achieve a lot of good stuff, like curing cancer. So I would go with the world peace option so that we could like stop with the hate and the killing and all that stuff, and we could use our brains
rather than men. Yeah, 100%. Lucid Sugar asks, how do you take your coffee?
Black and strong.
Yes. Yes. She also asked, do you think iced coffee should only be consumed in the summer or all year round?
I think that issue should be decided by people who drink iced coffee.
You don't drink iced coffee?
Nope.
Really?
And I don't discriminate. So, you know, if you drink iced coffee, you know, go for it. You drink anytime you want.
I was on that boat for a long time, and my newest job, the job I'm at now, I work for a major food manufacturer. We make a lot of like pasta sauces and salsas and things like that. I say that because in the summertime, I'm basically in a big kitchen.
Right.
And it's, you know, high humidity, high temperature, things like that. And even like when I get back to my office, like my office is air conditioned, but even once I get back there, like I'm still hot and I want something cold to drink. And my wife finally got me to drink iced coffee, and I don't hate it, but I mean, I definitely prefer a hot coffee, but when it's 100 degrees outside in the plant, it's impossible to drink hot coffee.
Gotcha. It's okay. It's all right. Yeah. I don't judge you. I am not judging you. I'm not going to be discriminatory about coffee.
I feel a little judged, but
okay. You know, Rock, come in for a hug. Come on. Okay. All right. It's all right. You know, let's hug it out. Okay. It's okay. All right. Okay.
We're good now.
We're good. Okay.
Priest asks, should pineapple be on pizza, and what is your favorite pizza?
Yeah, right. You really think I'm going to get dragged into the pineapple issue?
What?
I am so. This is like no way politics. I am not getting involved in
this. No way politics, because
this pineapple is like, on pizza. Like people like go to war over the issue of whether pineapple should be on pizza. Frankly, I feel like people should have freedom of choice when it comes to pizza topping.
It's pizza.
It's pizza. And you know what? If you like a topping that nobody else likes, order your own damn pizza.
Preach. Preach.
Okay? So
no, because even a bad pizza is still better than no pizza.
Thank you. I agree.
Yeah.
So when it really comes right down to it, I mean, toppings are just, they're just there. You know?
Yeah.
It's the pizza, though.
R2 asked, you could choose anyone in the world. Who would be your dinner guest?
Alive or dead?
Let's go with alive.
Ooh. Oh, you got me on this one.
Yeah, I always like to take out the dead, because I feel like that makes it a little too easy.
Somebody alive I'd like to have dinner with. Is this like a dinner date?
Nah, just like a dinner guest. Like they're coming over.
I was gonna say, can I name somebody like a celebrity I've got the hots for or something?
I mean,
I'd go to dinner with, or
I mean, you do you.
man, this is tough. You know, I want to say something really intelligent, like, oh, I really want to go have like a dinner with like a world leader, or like, you know, like a Nobel Peace Prize winner, or like, you know, the only thing that comes to mind is like, you know, like it'd be cool to hang out with like Lady Gaga or something. I don't know.
That'd be tight.
I would love to, you know, I just said off the top of my head, but in all seriousness, I would love to have a creative conversation with
her. Oh, yeah, you know? It'd be fascinating. Like, the conversations that you could have would be incredible.
you know, her mind is you know, amazingly creative, and you know, being a musician, being a songwriter, you know, have the opportunity to talk.
Yeah. Boom. Make sure I covered everybody. Punky Human said, "What was one of your favorite memories from stream?"
I think my favorite memories from stream, you know, meeting people, getting to, and having, you know, I can't like one moment, like, wow, this was, you know, because there's been so many amazing, you know, this whole streaming thing has been an amazing, and I've only been doing it. So I'm completely green, and I really have.
I think I got all that answer. If not, Audacity is recording a backup, so I can fix it.
Okay.
You
know, it was a lousy answer anyway, so don't worry.
No, I thought it was a great answer. I mean, it is hard, especially when you stream. I mean, every day, because you're full time, correct?
Yeah, I am.
So I mean, it's hard when you stream every day to pick out like one, you know, memory, but the experience, right? It's always the experience.
It's always the experience, exactly.
The streams where I've got, you know, 5 viewers, but everybody's talking and chatting and having a good time. Those are the ones that I sit back from at the end. Like when I hit stop streaming, I sit back and I go, that was fun.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Where you can have, you know, 50 viewers and, you know, you can't keep up with chat, or just like, people are going off on tangents that you're not able to keep up with, or something happens that you just, okay, cool, I had great numbers, but like I didn't get to have that connection with people.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, we had like, there was one stream where it was towards the end of stream. And so everything was kind of winding down, and somebody came in and commented on something I said on the podcast. And we had like a 15-minute conversation with just me on Facecam. And we had a very like smart, it was about hunting. It was somebody from the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about the differences between the United States and Europe for hunting regulations, and the differences in philosophies behind hunting and this and that. But it was a very level-headed conversation. It was a very good conversation. Both sides presented arguments. And I don't think anybody changed anybody's mind, but we came to a mutual agreement that, you know, we kind of understood each other, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like that's one of those streams that like I'm always going to remember, because those are the types of interactions and personal connections that we make. That's what we're trying to do here with streaming, is like make these types of connections with people. And
exactly,
I was able to do that from my home office with somebody on the other side of the world.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible.
It's incredible that you can, you know, with a flick of a switch.
Yeah.
You know, you can meet and interact and befriend people from all over the world, and you can learn from them. And the beauty there is that we can learn to celebrate our common ground.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, because we need to do more of that.
Agreed.
So, you know, that's really, you know, that's really one of the overall goals, I think.
Yeah.
You know, let's find some common ground, guys.
So to follow up on that beautiful answer, Fuming Bison asks, if you could, would you swim in nacho cheese?
Absolutely not. And just on a side note, that whole nacho cheese thing, that's between me and Skid. So Bison, you ain't got no business asking about that.
I don't even want to know.
You don't want to know.
No. As soon as you said Skid, I'm out.
Yeah, that's like, oh, Skid. Oh, yeah, we're done. Yep.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I'm See, good. I don't need to hear that story. Nope.
The other thing Bison asked was, when is the merch coming out?
Oh, my God. You know what? I don't know if that's a serious question or not. Because
I don't know. There's a couple people that asked that.
They like to tease me about merch suggestions quite a bit.
Oh, really?
Yes, they do. They have quite a long list of requests, like onesies and glow-in-the-dark condoms.
Oh, geez.
You know, just, you know, every ridiculous thing you can think of under the sun. So I don't know if that's a serious question or not. The serious answer is we're working on it.
Nice.
We're working on it.
I always have these great ideas for t-shirts, and I'm like, man, that would make, you know, some great merch. And I just never do it.
Well, like, you know,
I forget.
I am truly blessed that I live with someone who is not only a creative director and a digital designer, but also a programmer.
That is, yeah.
I'm very lucky, because really the only thing I have to do here is just sit in front of the camera and concentrate on streaming and worry about that. My significant other major, he takes care of, you know, the rest.
Very cool.
You know, so that I'm lucky I got my ace in the hole.
I mean, all joking aside, like, that's a very good ace to have in the hole.
No kidding.
You know, in the business that we're in, you know, having an artist is a very good thing to have.
No kidding. Because, you know, so,
like how I said, I have no creative or artistic bones in my body. That means that I generally have to pay somebody to do things that I need done.
Right. You know, so yeah. I'm very blessed. And Major, I don't know if you're listening or not, but big props to Major, because he is probably my biggest supporter. He is he does mod for me when he has time. He is cool. My biggest supporter. He is my significant other. And he is much a part of this stream as I am. So
nice.
He's kind of the one that kind of egged me into this, to be honest with you.
It's all his fault, huh?
Occasionally I'm like, look, you know, this is your fault, right? You realize this is your fault. You know, I blame him for getting me into WoW, so he's used to. Me playing the long term blame game with him, so he's.
Yeah. So he's a real bad influence. I get it. That's fine. That's all I can say. Yeah.
Yeah, he is. He's the one who bought the Xbox and got me into Halo.
Yeah.
He's the one who got me into World of Warcraft. Do you see the pattern?
Yeah.
See how it works? Yeah. It's his fault. Blame Major.
Last question.
All right.
Epic Jag asks, in one sentence, how would you describe the internet?
Cats, filth, and fun.
Yes. I couldn't have drawn up a better answer to that question. That was amazing. That might, you know what? You might be the first person whose episode is not named after themselves. I'm just going to call it Cats, Filth, and Fun. That's so good. Well, Keely, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. This has been an absolute blast.
Oh no, thank you. This has been a lot of fun. This has been fun. And so thank you so much for asking me. This has been great.
I would have been ousted as host if I didn't have you on.
It still blows my mind, you guys. I appreciate and love all the support. Thank you so much. It just blows my mind. Thank you guys so much.
So again, for the 2 to 3 people that listen to this podcast and don't know who you are, why don't you let people know where they can find you?
You can find me at mixer.com/KeelyJinx. I stream from Tuesday through Saturday, 12 noon to 6 Eastern Standard Time. I'm generally streaming first-person shooters like Overwatch, Paladins, Halo 5, Rainbow Six Siege, stuff like that. And look, my lobbies are always open. Skill level does not matter. We play for fun. We play for shits and giggles. Everybody's welcome. So, you know, hey, stop by and say hi.
Beautiful. You guys know me. I'm Rock City Roller. You can find me on Twitch, Instagram, and Facebook at Rock City Roller, Twitter at Rock City Roller 1, and YouTube at Rock City Roller TV. Again, thank you so much. This has been a pleasure.
Oh, no. Thank you guys so much. OOU, I love you.
Guys, go follow Keely. I'll put that link down in the show notes as well if you need to just click on it. Until next time, this has been the One of Us Community Podcast.
Later.